Lash, 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 lash. And then when you're out with all the rugby boys, you get them to join in, and it goes like lash, 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 lash. And by that time, everyone in the bar is absolutely loving it, and they go lash, 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 lash. Lash, lash, and it's just such good chat.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the Rigbiz podcast. I am Freddie Claude, and on my right shoulder, as always, is Mr. Archie Curzons.
Ready for the pop ball.
Well, where are you?
Yeah, I'm here. Pop right, mate. Pop right.
All right.
See, so the opposite man would have taken you on. You'd have drawn that man. Right. I'd have been on your right. You'd have popped the ball to me, and I would have just managed to sort of evade the fullback, put it under the post, and then we've got two easy points, which I would have most likely got, and that's 7 points for the podcast.
Right, okay. Okay, so...
Good assist from yourself.
Well, thank you, mate. So, back to the pod. This is episode 3. How did episode 2 go down with the crowds?
Just like episode 1, mate. I think everyone's really, really enjoying the chat. The mm-hmm. amount of times I've been stopped in Clapham Old Town between the Sun Pub and Virgin Active,
right?
It's quite extraordinary. It's people just stop me just saying, look, really enjoying your chat, and it isn't a surprise to me, because actually a lot of the rugby boys, you know, when we're in the clubhouse, they'll take me aside and just say, hey mate, just want to say really, really enjoy your chat. And that's before we even did the pod.
Yeah. So Archie, a good week for the podcast. Have you had a successful day in the city?
May, I've had a belting day. Yeah, I had a really strong breakfast meeting with a potential new client of mine. Really good guy. I don't think I actually asked him what school he went to. I should have asked that. But you could tell, like, he went to a proper school. He'd recently just got back from a ski trip with a few mates, and he was showing me some pretty funny videos of him, like après ski, just spraying champagne. Like, he didn't even care. I think like two or three at a time. And I think he told me those bottles were worth 250 euros. So he was just spraying it. Like, you know, he didn't.
Your kind of guy.
Yeah. Really good guy. Had a bloody nice watch, actually, which we had a bit of chit chat about that. So yeah, great breakfast, and great day. Well, as always,
that's fantastic. I mean, you seem to have, from what I can understand from, you know, getting to know you slightly, a lot of really good days. What do you put that down to?
It's routine, really.
Routine. Morning
detailed,
routine.
Yeah, or? Well, detailed morning routine. Yeah, I normally get up. I do my press ups, do my sit ups, and then I'll stretch, and that's a bit of yoga. And then a lot of stuff with a foam roller. And that's not just for ruggers. Mm. That's for the tube as well. Because I don't know if you've ever gone at Clapham Common on rush hour. It's an absolute nightmare to get on there. So if you're not limber, if you're not warmed up, you're going to have real trouble getting on there. And I've got a lot of stuff with me. I've got my briefcase. I've got all my gym stuff with me. And I take my own kettlebells to the gym.
Wow.
So, you know, if I'm not stretched, I'm not going to get on there. I've got to find the gap.
No chance, yeah.
I'll do my stretching, then I'll have a shower, and I always shave my chest in the shower every day.
Just the chest?
I just like the feel of my shirt on my naked skin. So yeah, I'll have a shower, and then I do a full body moisturize, which is great. And then I'll put my suit on, and I'll just feel almost ready for the day. And then what I do is I spend 2-3 minutes in the mirror, just doing my hair, prepping it for the day ahead. And I'll do that to the song Rockstar by Nickelback.
Right, okay.
Actually, have you got that?
Well, yeah, I can get it for you if you want.
Yeah, play that.
Now?
It's just automatically... That just puts me in a good mood, and I just know when I listen to that I'm getting focused. I'm thinking about the day ahead, whether, you know, I've got a business breakfast, a business lunch, or I'm catching up with a client, just a quick coffee with a client. And then I'll go to the kitchen, have my 6 egg white omelette with spinach on whole grain toast. I'll hold the butter, because butter's just unnecessary calories, and then I'll chase that meal down with a protein shake. Which is protein powder, oat milk, and 3 raw eggs. So I'm getting all my eggs in, the protein in the morning, which is great. It gives you a lot of energy. I mean, downside is, look, it gives you a lot of gas. But I balance that out by having a few Rene.
Well, mate, that is a hell of a routine. I'm not surprised it's taken you so many years to muster.
No, but it doesn't finish there, you know, because on the way from my house to the tube, without fail, I'll listen to Ian McGeoghegan's British Lion speech.
Right, good choice.
And that will really, motivate me for getting on the Northern Line. Freddie, do you know how I know I'm going to have a good day?
No, but I would like to know.
It's normally when I get to Borough on the Northern Line, just before Bank, which I get off. I normally get a sort of erection.
An erection? What, like a semi-erection?
Yeah, like a Tim Hemman.
Right, okay.
And not a full-blown hard-on, but just enough that, you know, it gives me a little tingle. And that normally is a sign that I'm going to have a good day. I mean, thinking about it, most of the times I get an erection, it means I'm going to have a good time.
So now we're on the sports section and we're going to look at the recent week's unfoldings. And as tradition dictates, we start by looking at the recent Falcons performance. How did you boys get on this weekend?
We were pretty lucky. We actually had a break for the Six Nations. So Every pro and semi-pro rugby team will have a break for the Six Nations. So it's just a bit of time to relax and unwind. And obviously, look, just in case, obviously, you get the call up.
Right.
So, just had a bit of fun, cut loose and chopped a few pints.
So who are you chopping pints with? Who are you watching the rugby with?
I was watching the rugby with a really good friend of mine called Molesy.
Right.
Who I went to school with, a really good guy, really good operator.
Is he a rugby boy?
No. He's more of a business guy, works in insurance. Really good lads, decent in the gym. I mean, what the guy can do with just a couple of dumbbells is quite extraordinary.
So where were you boys watching the game?
We were watching it in Northcote Road.
I was watching it down there as well.
What? I texted you and asked you if you wanted to come join.
Oh, mate, well, was that you texting me? Because I saw that
I text you and I called you. But you text me saying you were watching it at home.
Well, that was the original plan, and then we decided. Like, but the thing is, I didn't see your texts come through.
Oh, mate,
so you were called.
You missed a really good sesh. I definitely texted you a few times.
I don't think I got the calls, but I definitely saw the text late that night. Oh, my phone ran out of battery, I think. That's what happened. Yeah, sorry, mate. It was really good.
Well, look, next time you've got to join.
Yeah, no, of course.
It was really, really good fun.
So I'm guessing after a big night out on the Lash on Saturday, you were recovered on Sunday for the big one? Or were you feeling it?
Yeah, just about. I managed to get up and I drove down to my old man's place in Hampshire and watched a game with him.
Is he a big rugby fan?
Yeah, massive rugby fan. I'm lucky. My dad's like my best friend. And he's got a really good setup down there. He's got a 52-inch screen.
Wow, he must have done pretty well.
Yeah, he's a pretty successful guy. Pretty successful guy.
What's he do?
He made the majority of his money in the 90s.
Well, doing what?
He was pretty fortunate. Both his parents died.
So, in the end, a very disappointing day for England. What did you make of the game?
Yeah, look, it wasn't the best result. It's always going to be difficult when you're playing away from home.
Mm.
And look, I've had that in my career. I mean, we once had to play a team in Hackney and it was like an atmosphere I'd never experienced. And I think that really had an effect on my game. So I could understand what the guy's going through. But I thought, you know, there were some real positives from the game. And you've got to take the positives.
So George Fairbanks' debut, were you a fan?
Big fan. Big fan. You know, it's a shame he didn't get his hands on the pill enough. But I thought he looked good. Mm. He's got a really good look about him. He looks like the kind of guy that if I saw in Vadilobo, I know we'd be good mates.
And you could have probably taught Farrell a couple of lessons or two. He didn't seem to have a good game, did he?
Yeah, I think people think that I've got a problem with Faz, but you know he had a difficult day at the office. I think he's got a really boring haircut. And I think the thing with Farrell, the difference between me and him is he hasn't really experienced the city, which I have. So I'm used to ups and downs. Things not always going my way. At the beginning of Q3 last year, I had two deals about to go through. And then they didn't go through. And that didn't faze me. I just got back onto BD and manage to create other opportunities. And that's the difference between me and Owen Farrell. I'm used to things not always going my way. And actually, I think he could do with, you know, maybe taking a break from the Six Nations and doing 2 weeks working in the city.
Right, work experience.
And just becoming a little bit more adaptable. And actually, look, you know, Owen, you know, if you're listening, you are more than welcome to come and do some work experience with us.
So you're hopeful for the rest of the tournament? Do you think we can turn it around?
Yeah, I 100% back the boys to, you know, pull off a big result this weekend against Scotland. Look, obviously it's in Murrayfield and Edinburgh is bloody good fun.
Well, Edinburgh is known for its public school crowd after all, so.
Yeah, it's a cracking night. I had a mate there called Yami, who now works for a FTSE listed pharmaceutical company in Hong Kong. He went to uni there and had a few nights out there. And yeah, it's loose. And I'm sure the boys, if they put in a performance, will be heading out there and having a lot of fun.
Are you still hoping for the call-up?
Probably not this weekend. I think Eddie Jones will stick with his team. But, you know, if results don't go the England's way, then yeah, I can imagine, you know, he might want to give me a call.
Christ, her accent is appalling. Jean-Christophe, the champagne, please, sir. Well, lovely to meet you, Megan. And let's raise a toast to a successful evening.
Yeah, and I'd like to raise a toast, too, to Rebecca Long-Bailey and socialism.
Oh, fuck! Jean-Christophe, the bill!
Tired of being surrounded by common people. Embarrassed to take them home to your family, even if they do have a good share. Well, that's all coming to an end. With the new dating app, Posh Totty, coming soon. Please be aware that some people will pretend to be posh in order to get married to you, therefore becoming rightful owners of half your earnings. Yes, that's right, gentlemen. Half of the blood, sweat and tears you put into the city will be theirs by due diligence. Make sure you get a lawyer. Make sure they sign a fucking prenup. Good luck, boys. May God be with you.
Our guest on the podcast this week is ex-Bath, Gloucester, Racing Metro, Grenoble, Scarlet and London Welsh fly half Ollie Barkley. Barkley represented England 23 times between 2001 and 2008, and such was his early reputation that he featured for England before he'd made his professional club debut with Bath. Ollie, are you there, mate? Thanks for coming on the pod.
Yeah, mate, you're welcome.
It's great to have the original 10, sometimes 12, to talk to. Archie, I'm guessing Barkley was your inspiration when you were growing up.
Yeah, Barks, how you doing? It's the magician here. It's great to have you on. Yeah, obviously, to have one of my idols on the podcast is a real highlight. I'd imagine, Barks, you've obviously seen my Instagram. You probably see a lot of yourself in me. You know, good looking, can play 10, can play 12, can kick off with both feet, and is half decent on a night out.
I haven't actually, mate, no. Sorry, I actually... I spend quite a lot of time on Instagram, but I haven't seen you on there yet. What are you under?
Check it out. I think you'd enjoy the chat. It's Lash Banter 10. Check it out, and I can give you a follow back.
Okay, man, that'd be really kind of you. Thank you.
Did you guys ever play together? You know, roughly similar ages or not?
No, didn't have the opportunity. I went down the semi-pro route, and obviously, you know, Bark's gone the pro route. So yeah.
So Barkley, before we touch on your career, what were your thoughts on the England game on the weekend? I mean, it looked to me like we could have done with a fly half with a graceful kicking game and exquisite defensive abilities.
Well, I think it's obviously a lot of pressure on them hanging over from the World Cup. They looked a little bit stressed, a little bit pressured. So I think they probably went into that game thinking that they'd have the edge and experience and perhaps a bit of pack weight and stuff going into the French game, which was... they did definitely pick the younger side, a bit of an inexperienced side, and I think that they'd probably be sitting in the change rooms after getting a little bit shocked and a bit pissed off that they got schooled a bit the first hour actually, and then the score was a very clear reflection on how dominant the French team were. So I think probably quite a lot to make up for the England team in this game.
Yeah, but Box, just a quick question for me. One thing I was really interested to know is what school did you go to?
Colston's, mate. You ever heard of it? Did you play those guys on the circuit?
Colston's, yeah. Are they? Is that a private school?
It is a five score, didn't he? Yeah, they won Dynamo Cup 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you heard of them.
Well, I was about to say, because you were spotted by Brian Ashton and Andy Robinson whilst leading your school to the Daily Mail victory in 2000. And this led to the unprecedented step whereby you made your debut for your country before you played for a professional club. I believe you made your debut in San Francisco against the United States at the age of 19. I mean, what are your memories of that tour and making your debut?
Wait. Barks, just quickly, what was the lash like in San Francisco?
Man, I have to be honest, the lash was rather underwhelming. I was obviously 19, drinking age being 21. So as soon as they started hearing stories about how a 19-year-old got capped, they congratulated me and then kicked me out of the bar. So I was getting dragged from bar to bar with getting kicked out as it went. So, mate, actually thoroughly underwhelming and not too many decent stories from that.
Shame.
Well, that's a shame. Anyway, over the next 5 years or so, you had an incredible international career and a club career under the guidance of Clive Woodward and Andy Robinson. What was your sort of overall personal highlight of that time, if you could pick one?
I think growing up, I used to be a bit of for my sins, a bit of an All Black fan. I used to watch all the players from there, and I tried to emulate a couple of them when I was younger, I suppose. So to actually face the All Blacks in Eden Park, face the Hacker for the first time, was pretty
amazing.
Special for me. Yeah, it was pretty special. I never actually thought that... I didn't actually convert to sort of professional rugby until I was about 16, 17. Like, I was always going to try quite keen to go through university route, and then
uni
happened quite late for me.
Parks, you would have loved uni. Like, uni, you would have enjoyed, like, the nights out I had with the uni boys, the rugby club. It was pretty epic.
What uni did you go to, mate?
I went to a bloody good uni.
Went
to Bristol.
Okay, yeah, no.
So, very close to Bath. And it was funny, actually, when you're talking about the Hacker, I had a similar experience when we actually toured a couple of unis down in New Zealand. And I totally agree. Facing the Hacker is quite a special thing.
It's not bad, mate. It's not bad.
So,
I'm a nice chat to a fellow rugby player that's done the same thing.
So what was the night out like after the World Cup final in 2007? You were in the squad for the 07 World Cup. Was that a better night out than San Francisco?
Yeah, but that got a bit hairy, that one. I think we had a party in a club that they'd sort of booked out for us. And like everyone that had been sort of a bit pent up until then, a few of the guys during the course of the World Cup, some tend to go out and let loose during the World Cup, and that's their way of relaxing. Other guys just tend to sort of stay in their rooms a little bit. But by the end of the World Cup, I think everyone had enough of that, and everyone cut loose. So it was most guys finished the next morning. Some guys finished a couple of days later, like 10 after those sort
classic.
Of series, like whether it's a World Cup or a Six
Nations,
whatever. Then guys tend to cut loose for a little bit after being pent up for so long.
So it was good fun. And what was the reception like when you...
Barks, just quickly, what in that England team, who had the best sort of chat?
Mate, that team was a little bit dull, actually.
Probably, what about Benders? Benders had pretty good chat, didn't he?
Benders' chat's pretty shocking, actually. He came out about a week before the final as cover, so fortunately we didn't weren't subject to too much of his public school chat for the entirety of the
classic
World Cup
Benders
campaign. But mate, I had pretty well enjoying a night out. One of my best mates, my man, was always someone like Charlie Hodgson. Sadly, he didn't go to the World Cup, so I was left with the Bath lads, which was generally guys like Lee Mears, Steve Borthwick.
Quite boring boys, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, completely dull boys.
And then a double break to your legs meant that you eventually moved under the medical joker rule to France. What was briefly your experience in France life like? Could you speak French? Did you enjoy the ladies? Were you a single man at that time? What was going on?
My girlfriend at the time came out with me, so there was none of that going on. The communication issue was difficult for me because I didn't learn any French at school, so I found myself playing fly half, obviously a position where you required to talk quite a bit and spoke pretty much no French.
Was it quite a sort of disappointing time for you in France?
Yeah, I don't think I'd probably achieved what I wanted to playing
good
wise.
Point.
I was only out there for a couple of years.
Bloody good call.
As an overall life experience, I loved it, and I look back on it really fondly. I met some great mates out there who I still keep in touch with, and just to be classic example was down in Grenoble. We'd go skiing on a day off, which definitely wouldn't be allowed in England. So things like that, you could never do anywhere else in the world. So I was quite grateful for the life experience, but probably didn't achieve everything I wanted to.
Barks, was it good après ski?
Great après ski in France, mate. You should know that.
Yeah, no, I've been, but in Grenoble, good après ski.
Alpe d'Huez is the ski station there. It's no Val d'Isère or Verbier, mate, which I'm sure you're used to.
I love Val d'Isère.
And then you briefly moved to Wales for 4 or 5 months, and then you ended up at London Welsh, where you saw out the rest of your playing days. What was it like moving into the Championship, having had such an incredible international and club career?
Mate, it took a bit getting used to, like the grounds, like the quality of the pitches. It was definitely a bit of an eye opener for the first 3 or 4 months. But after once I took over the coaching, I think it was about Christmas time. We had a great bunch of lads, and we ended up playing some really good rugby. So I have to say, probably the last 6 months in the Championship were six of the most enjoyable months of my career, I think, how rewarding it was and how fulfilling and stuff. So I have very fond memories of that year I spent on the Welsh Championship.
Ollie, it was at that time, I think, that I used to see you quite a lot in Infernos.
I've never been to the Fenners in my life, man.
What are we
talking about?
Maybe it was just a guy who looked like you in Fenners. I bought him a few drinks, so that's quite disappointing. I always imagined, actually, if we actually had met, then you would have probably quite enjoyed my chat.
Mate, no doubt. I've heard things from Benders, actually, but I can't really comment on the radio.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things from Nico.
And then, Barks, when you retired, you moved to Hong Kong. How did that come about, and what's it like living out in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong came about from I was approached by the Hong Kong Rugby Union to go out there as a consultant.
Hong Kong's got some pretty good chat.
National team and some work with their clubs and their coaches and things. So
he probably bumped into a few guys I know from school.
In between sort of what I was doing with my personal career, which is property, so I had something going on, so I had 8 months to kill. So I went out there for that period of time and absolutely loved it.
Property's definitely something I really want to get into as well.
It's not the sort of place that you can start a life, I don't think.
Not at all.
But while you're there...
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun, yeah.
And what are you up to now then? Now you're retired from the game, you're not doing as much coaching. What are you doing, for your professional capacity? You just mentioned property there.
Yeah, I started a property company about 7 or 8 years ago now, so I sort of went sideways into that when I finished playing. But on the side of that, an ex-player some of you might know, Ed Jackson, who recently broke his neck. Him and I have started an events company, basically trying to support charitable causes through sort of unique event experiences. So we've got very, very busy with that at the moment. We had a big year for last year, and then we're trying to grow on that this year with our climb events, which basically we take away underprivileged, struggling people who struggle with mental health up the mountains. We're going back to Nepal this year, going to climb Mont Blanc, wow, a few others, and then the other one, basically, we run pretty risky parties, which are basically involve circus performers and DJs and chefs and stuff. So all of it's a lot of work, but it's really good fun.
But Barks, I mean, two things. We should definitely talk after this phone call about the property stuff, because that's something I definitely want to explore. And I've got a few good connections in London. But also, mate, if you want me to come to one of your events, these Beats events, and just show my face, maybe do a bit of after dinner speaking, just let me know. I'm here to help.
Yeah, mate. I'm not really sure how that'll work out, because our last event's in Q4. I know how busy your Q4 is going into Q1, so I'm not sure. Can you drop me an email and I'll get back to you?
Yeah. I mean, what's your? I'll get your email address after this, but we should definitely talk about the property stuff, because I could probably help you out with a few connections I know in the city. I'm linked in with a guy who works for Galliard.
Well, mate, if you can get me to a few of the guys around the Ned for a few beers, then yeah, I'd absolutely love that. Thank you.
Mate, honestly, I'm definitely on for that. Let's definitely sort a night out at the Ned. It'd be really good to sort of touch base and do a bit of, business development.
I'd love to, mate. It sounds like a lot of fun.
All right, mate. Well, thank you so much, Ollie, for coming on and telling us about your career and also what you're up to now. The charity and the charitable cause, it sounds incredible. So we'll put in a link on the podcast for you to go and check that out as well. But enjoy the rest. Are you having supper?
I am, mate, yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, what are you eating? Just protein or a mixture of protein and carbs?
Just sort of protein powder and water. That's what I really eat these days, mate.
Mate, sounds decent. Ollie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, mate. Speak to you soon. Now we're going to look at the big stories to come out of the business world, and there are
Sorry, Fred, can I just stop you?
Sure.
Just very quickly, one thing I realised, we haven't actually done the advert.
What advert?
The Jack Words advert.
Yeah, but we're not doing that anymore. Like,
we're doing it. I don't know if you've read, ridiculous. But since Mike Ashley has bought Jack Wills, the share price has got 110%, and that is partly to do with him. But also, I think if we keep doing this, this is having a really good effect.
Well, so you think we've...
Get the guitar.
You sure?
Yes. Just get your guitar. Uh-oh, chap. You got a meeting on Friday, but also you got a meeting with the beers and the boys on Friday night. You don't want to wear a suit, but you want to look smart. Well, don't worry. Why not buy some Jack Wills chinos? They're perfect with no socks and some brogues. Check out www.jackwills.com. That's brilliant. You're welcome, Mike Ashley.
Before we recorded the podcast this evening, Archie, you asked your followers to send in some questions.
Yeah. I've got to say, my followers have got some decent pitter-patter.
And, you know,
a lot of rugby guys. So be prepared. I mean, these questions are loose.
We've had an incredible response.
And a scale of 1 to 10. 10.
Okay, well, let's get round to them, mate.
Okay.
Slady's brother here, what's your go-to when the dress code says smart casual?
Great question. So normally it's a red pair of chinos, no socks, some just slacks. And I would honestly go with some Jack Wills chinos. They're brilliant. A tight-fitting shirt and just a nice blazer that you can either wear or you can hold over your shoulder.
We've got another one saying apparently there are rumours going around now that Rob Short of Falcons possibly at the end of the season.
I don't want to comment. Look, the guy is obviously very well educated, got a great connections in the city, and someone, look, we'd definitely be interested in.
One from Matty Horton, number one, saying, would you ever go out in Brixton?
Look, Brixton's really not for me. Mm-hmm. But I have been there a few times for a few mates' birthdays, but just don't really like the vibe. I'm not really into house music.
So we got one here from Louis Ferrari saying, opinions on private schools which cost sub 20k per annum.
Well, personally, I would be asking your parents, like, why the hell are you not doing that well?
D Bevan 26 says, ever been at the top of a ski slope, sealed the deal and then skied down?
Yeah, many a time. I love... One of my favourite things to do is do business while I'm skiing. Funny enough, because I've got iPod Pros, that means I can take calls while skiing. So I've sealed deals while going down a black run.
Wow. And final question of the evening, whatever happened to Oliver Blazenby? We've got a lot of questions about Blazers.
Well, of course, I'm pretty excited. Blazers, who's obviously people know is my best mate, plays six, sometimes seven, is actually going to come on the show in the coming weeks.
Wow.
Really looking forward to having him. Yeah, he's currently living
amazing.
In Guildford with his partner, Kim Lee, and her two children. But yeah, he's coming on to have a bit of banter. So yeah, get prepared.
And that brings to a close another fantastic episode, if I may say so myself.
Mate, it's been seriously good.
Barkley was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, but I think I've been on particularly good form.
Yeah, well, Barkley was
as per.
So
it's good to have two fly halves.
Well, 10, sometimes 12.
Yeah. It's good to just have two guys who are very similar. And I think actually we got on really well.
Well, all that leads me to say is where are you going to be watching?
Definitely got to chase him for that property meeting. I think I can really help him and sort something out.
Where are you going to be watching the big game next weekend?
Where are we watching it, mate? Come on.
No, where are you watching it?
No, fuck off. Where are we watching it? Where are you watching it?
I'm watching it. I'm with my family next weekend.
Okay, sounds fun. Can't wait.
Mate, I can't take you to...
Parents love me.
Lash, 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 lash. And then when you're out with all the rugby boys, you get them to join in, and it goes like lash, 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 lash. And by that time, everyone in the bar is absolutely loving it, and they go lash, 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 and it's just such good chat.